Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services. Join us now as we go to a service in progress.
Acts chapter 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, and we will begin with verse 1. Dear Theophilus, in my first book, I told you about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he ascended to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instruction from the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. So we know from the resurrection, over those 40 days, he appeared in many different ways to the apostles. At one point, there were 500 that he appeared before, so that those who knew him in his ministry years and those who knew him in the season when he was crucified are those who knew him in the resurrection power of God as well, and so they testify to that. On these occasions, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And we need to talk about the kingdom of God, because that's the kingdom we're a part of, right? So he talked to them about the kingdom of God, and it was in one of these meetings, as he was eating a meal with them, he told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends what he has promised." Remember, I've told you this before. John baptized with water. Now you remember that. John baptized with water. He was out there in the Jordan. "But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So 40 days have passed. Jesus has told them, in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is about the birth of the church, as I said earlier, and it is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the people of God, so they can represent the kingdom of God. When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, are you going to free Israel now and restore our kingdom?" And Jesus said, "The Father sets those dates. They're not for you to know." But look at verse 8, and you know it. You could probably quote it. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere. And this is the promise of God. It's not long after this, after he had said this, that he was taken up into the sky, verse 9 tells us, while they were still watching, and he disappeared into a cloud. And as they were straining their eyes to see him, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. They said, "Men of Galilee," take note of this verse, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus," and I like what the King James says, "this same Jesus," is what the King James says, "this same Jesus that has been taken away from you into heaven will someday return just as you saw him go." This same Jesus. The question that those two angelic messengers had is an important question today, an important statement. When they said, "Why are you just standing here gazing into the sky? Or why are you waiting? You need to get on with what you're to be doing, because the same Jesus is going to come back just as he went." Going to come back just as he went. Now there's other verses here in Acts that I want to get to this morning, but I want to take you to Zechariah. Zechariah, that's real close to Malachi. Zechariah. We're going to go to Zechariah chapter 8. And in Zechariah, we see that Israel is at a place where there is some rebuilding to be done. And there are some things stated that I believe have to do with the days that we're quickly approaching. And I would like to just start with verse 3. Maybe I'll start with verse 1. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 1. And you will see verse 3 in your bulletin today because we put it in there. But I want you to take note of a few scriptures that are here. Then another message came to me from the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. My love for Mount Zion is passionate and strong. Mount Zion, speaking of the Temple Mount and in a broader sense, the nation of Israel. I'm consumed with passion for Jerusalem. And now the Lord says, I am returning to Mount Zion and I will live in Jerusalem. How many of you know that Jesus isn't living there and God's not living in Jerusalem except by the Spirit this morning? And so this is a promise. Now, of course, the Messiah came, went back to the Father, but we're living in a day of the promised return again, which is going to be the fulfillment of the promise. The Jewish people were always looking for the day when God would somehow deliver their nation from other nations and from armies and from warfare and from death. And they wanted peace. They wanted peace in their city. They wanted peace in their homes. And we want that too, do we not? We want our children to be raised in peace. We want to be raised in peace. And this is what the apostles were asking just before Jesus goes back to the Father. They're saying, are you going to restore Israel at this time? Now, 2,000 years have gone by. And I've been in some gatherings where there were many messianic believers that believe that Yeshua is coming again soon, and they are just like we, looking for the return of the Lord. But then I've been in meetings with other Jewish people who are more secular, who say, well, back in those days, God was able to do things like that, but today we have jets, we have tanks, we have bombs, we have nuclear weapons, we have all of these things. And we know that all of these things we have today cannot hinder the return of our Lord and the faithfulness of God to fulfill His word to His covenant people. So when we read here, God talks about the passion He has for Jerusalem, and now the Lord says, I am returning to Mount Zion. I will live in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city. The mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. Now, I want you to take note of this, and I want you to, for a moment, ask yourself a question. What would revival look like in a nation? Now, God's speaking and giving a word that the day is going to come when God will return to Mount Zion. Jesus will return. And so He's going to return, and He's going to return in power, authority, and victory when He comes back. He's not going to come as that suffering lamb. He already did that, right? And so when He returns, He's going to return in power and might. And we know that there is going to be a 1,000-year period of time where the King of Kings rules on this earth. And look at this. The promise is that once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem streets. This is a picture of revival. You say, well, how can that be a picture of revival? What does that have to do with revival? What does it have to do with the move of God? Now recognize that God is saying to Israel, I'm going to come back to Jerusalem and I am going to establish my presence there. And then He says, and once again, old men and women will walk Jerusalem streets. We should perhaps add the fact, without fear. It will be safe. God is saying to Israel, the day is coming when you will not have cause or reason to be afraid. And instead of all of your people being murdered, they will grow to an old age and it will be safe for them. They will walk the streets, look at this, with a cane and sit together in the city squares and be able to enjoy fellowship in the cities. Now, what happens in many of our big cities today? I don't even have a clue how many were killed in some of our major cities last night. We don't get that report, do we? That tells us how many are dying every night in many of our large cities. And that, I will say, is because our nation has rebelled against God. We have opened the doors to evil, and evil has come in and has become a great plan of destruction amongst us. But God says that during those days, the streets will be filled with old men and women. And that's not all. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls at play. This is a picture of the plans of the enemy being completely pushed aside from God's people, where there is peace, there's comfort, there's prosperity, there's health into old age, and God is dwelling there with the people. I trust that God gives America another great awakening. Because many places and many cities in our nation, it is not safe to walk the streets right now. And it's not safe for our kids to be on the streets as it was even when I was a boy. When I was a child growing up, we lived in Hope Sound, quiet little town. We had one blinking light out in the middle of US 1. And we had two sheriffs, two cop cars. And one would come down and blink his lights, and a guy would climb up a 10-foot ladder and change the light bulb in the one blinking light. That's the way Hope Sound was when I was a kid. And I left in the morning as a young man, 6, 7, well, by the time I was 7 years old for sure. And I would head out on a Saturday morning, and I didn't come back until dark most Saturdays. I had the paper routes, I cut grass, I did a lot of things as a young man. And my parents were never concerned about what might happen because there was just no concern. Maybe some of you remember growing up in a neighborhood where you were allowed to, not only allowed, but you went in and out of each other's homes. It was safe. You were able to be there. You weren't concerned about somebody molesting your child, your son, or your daughter, or your parents were not concerned because the other parents in the neighborhood were watching over you as a child, just as my parents watched over the neighbor's children. And I remember the day on a Sunday, if we had company show up and we needed a cup of sugar, that we would just run up the street. We would go up to a neighbor's house and knock on the door and say, "Hello!" I didn't even wait for them to open the door, just knocked on the door and opened the door. They did the same at our house. Any of you remember this when our nation used to be a safe place and we used to actually be able to be relational? We didn't have fences everywhere. We didn't try to build big gates and big walls to protect ourselves because we were a God-fearing nation. But as we have moved away from God, the streets have become a battleground and our schools have become a battleground. I don't need to tell you these things, you know this. And of course, with my boys, I didn't allow my boys to go sleep over at anybody's house because I wasn't comfortable doing that. I didn't let my sons go to the beach with other families. Some would say, you know, you're way too concerned, maybe, I don't know, but as parents, even when you do everything you know to do, our children have still been at great risk, and they are at great risk in this generation. But I wanted to just start here to point out the fact that when God looks at the millennial period and looks at what's going to happen, evil and Satan is not going to be reigning in Jerusalem. There's going to be peace there. But then when you get to verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. We're still in Zechariah. All of this may seem impossible to you right now, a small and discouraged remnant of God's people. So they'd been returning after 70 years of captivity. They're coming back to Israel. And so when the prophet begins to say the day's going to come when the streets are going to be filled with the noise of children, and the seniors are going to be in the street enjoying that. They're going to be playing games. We used to play baseball in the street. We used to play kickball in the street. And the streets were our playgrounds. And that's what we had. And nobody cared. A car came, stopped, and we got out of the road. And it was a safe place to do that. And so the prophet says to those who are listening, those who would read, all this may seem impossible to you because you're small. And you're sort of discouraged, a remnant of God's people. But do you think this is impossible for me, the Lord Almighty? When the day of Pentecost came, the disciples had gone through a period of time where they had been expecting, you think about those 3.5 years, they were anticipating that Jesus, as the Messiah, was going to be raised up and they were going to have peace in Israel. They were looking for that to be established. And then he's put to death. And then they struggled. And during the resurrection season, we read those passages. We think about the struggles in Thomas. And Thomas, even though all the other disciples were believing, he didn't believe. He had to touch. He had to feel. And then Jesus tells them, after he proves that he's risen from the dead, he said, I want you to go and I want you to wait. And then I'm going to send the Comforter. And what they didn't understand was that God had a plan that would reach all the way 2,000 years into the future and include us in that work that He planned to do, starting on the day of Pentecost. And so we may look at our land, we may look at some incidents or situations that are within our own lives or our own families, our own neighborhoods, or even in the White House. But I want to encourage you to know that Pentecost has happened and the Holy Spirit is with God's people. And we are not alone and we are not weak and we are not defeated and we are not in a condition where we should be hiding or running or silent. But God has given us the fullness of His Spirit. And God is not finished with us yet. And God is able to turn things around. Even today, in my house, in your house, in the White House. And I'm praying for that. And yes, as we will be approaching a season of political ads, and I hate to see all the ads, and I hate to hear all the mudslinging, and I hate to go through all of that. But I'm not going to be silent this year as I'm not silent during seasons of election. We're going to look in the Word of God at what the Word of God says. And we're not going to be ignorant of what the enemy's doing. And we're not concerned about what some politicians may want to say to the church to be quiet and to not be vocal and to not be loud. I don't care what they say. We're going to stand on the Word of God. It's not my opinions or your opinions or some political party's opinions. But what does God have to say about truth, and what does God have to say about morality, and what does God have to say about redemption, and what does God have to say about a new life and a new beginning through being born again? That's what matters. And regardless of where we grew up, what we grew up with, what our background was, we're the people of God. And we are not limited by our traditions of men and by our spiritual upbringing, because the Spirit of God is in us and will equip us and enable us and strengthen us to know the truth. And the Word says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so we are not bound by the spirit of this age or by the lies of those who would stand in various offices. So this Word that came to Israel was back at a time when, you know, there was still rebuilding to be done in the temple. They were just coming back. And so that was part of that season. And the rest of that chapter lays some of that out, and would love to read more of it this morning, but I want to move a little further in this book of Zechariah. Move to chapter 12. And in chapter 12 of Zechariah, with verse 1, this message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord. This message is from the Lord. who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and formed the Spirit within humans. God says through the prophet, I will make Jerusalem and Judah like an intoxicating drink to all the nearby nations that send their armies to besiege Jerusalem. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone, a burden for the world. None of the nations who try to lift it will escape unscathed. We are again living in a time where this is exactly what God has spoken, has written, that is applicable to all these nations that are attacking Israel right now. They will not get by with their plans. And so we pray for all men and all women to be saved, right? Because Jesus died for every person, regardless of the nation they come from. And we know that regardless of whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're Gentile, whether you're Arab, whether you're from China, wherever you're from, that Jesus died for all people. And so we pray for all to be saved. But we also know that in these days that the nations around Israel are going to arm themselves against the people of God. And understand, this is not a natural war. This is a spiritual war. And a spiritual war is not just against Israel. It's also against the people of God. And it's against the Word of God. It's against the promises of God. It's against the covenant of God. And God's Word cannot be broken. It will be fulfilled. None of these nations who try to lift it, that stone, will be unscathed. On that day, says the Lord, I will cause every horse to panic, every rider to lose its nerves. Drop down to verse 6. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a brazier that sets a wood pile ablaze, or like a burning torch among sheaves of grain. But look at verse 10. These are all prophetic words that are going forth. They were applicable to the listener, but they carry into future generations as well. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on all the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him as for an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who has died. On the day of Pentecost, remember that this was a tremendous outpouring, and there were many, 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 many thousand Jews that were touched and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit during the birth of the church. And yet there's been a tremendous falling away, but now there is an ingathering again of the Jewish people. And this must be a sign that we who are in the Gentile church, we must see it and understand that the time is near for the return of the Lord, the redemption, because the Jews are being called in again. And so when I spoke with Rabbi Kahn following our last event, and he shared with me that when he heard our vision in September on the 26th for a regional local day of prayer, that our vision was to reach out to Jewish people, not only Messianics, but also secular Jews, and stand with Israel, with the covenant of God, and declare as Christian people that we stand with the Word of God. We know that God has a plan and God will redeem them. And we know this, and we should pray this, because God has promised that He will pour out a spirit of grace on the family of David. That spirit of grace is being poured out this morning. Right now, it's being poured out right now this morning upon Jewish people. And Rabbi Kahn said, that was the 26th of September was my birthday. It was his spiritual birthday. He said, I want to come back to the Treasure Coast to be with you on my spiritual birthday. I would like to join with Paul Wilbur. I would like to be here. God is doing something in the state of Florida. God is doing something on the east coast of Florida. I want to be here. I want to be a part of that. And then he said, now I'm not trying to make anything happen. If it will work, it'll work. But he said, that's what's on my heart. I am available. I would love to come back. Well, he is coming back. He is coming back. And Paul Wilbur is coming. And we're going to have another second great move of God as we reach out to the Jewish people with the love of God. And also we'll be bringing together the Messianic rabbis that are throughout the counties in our area. It's going to be a tremendous season of breakthrough. And this is what I kept hearing in talking with Jonathan. It's not an event. We're not planning events. I'm not a part of the alliance to plan events. I'm a part of the alliance to usher in the end time message and the word and the will of God that God has for our nation and the nations of the world. It is time for all of us to be a voice that speaks what God has to say. And this is the message for the Jews, but it's also for us, that I will pour out my Spirit. We think about Pentecost as where God poured out His Spirit and birthed the church, but God is saying there's going to be another outpouring, and that outpouring is going to be upon my people, upon the Jewish nation, and I will pour grace upon them. And where there's been judgment, where there's been criticism, where there's been condemnation, I am going to bring a spirit of grace. And they're going to be awakened. When they look on me, whom they pierced, they're going to mourn for him as an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who has died.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Let me tell you, oh my friends, about this joy I'm living in. Let me take the mic, I wanna testify how I was dead and then I came to life. No more living in the dark of night. Now everything's alright. I've been changed. When